Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll read chapter 11, verse 1. Be you followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Very simple it is that Paul says to them, follow me as I follow Christ. You notice here that he's encouraging or asking the Corinthian believers to follow him. And the word follow there comes from a Greek word that's used only about six times in the New Testament. Has the meaning to imitate. Now, we're not talking about imitation as, you know, mimicking. But basically, the word has to do with the repetition of a pattern already established by another. So Paul says, imitate me by following the pattern I set as I imitate Christ, following the pattern that he set. And that's the way it's being used here. If you look in verse 31 of chapter 10, you'll notice here, he says, Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the name, all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men and all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Be you follower, imitate me, as of me, even as I also of Christ. And Paul reveals there that I please all men, Jews, Gentiles, and also the church of God. I please to all men, not for my own profit, but for the profit, for their profit of many, that they may be saved. And that's a pattern he set out. It's a pattern that he lived. And it is a pattern after Christ, when Christ came into this world to seek and save them, and that they may be saved, or that he might save them. Excuse me. And that's the pattern there he set. If you notice there the word, be you followers of me, even as, comes the Greek word, as, it's English word, translation as, gothos. I'm not a Greek scholar. Never will be a Greek scholar. But it's an adverb. It's describing the verb there. There he says there, even as I am also of Christ. So there he puts a standard there. And the standard is not Paul. The standard is Christ. And that's what you need to recognize there. We find that Paul urges the Corinthian believers to follow him. Very unusual, because in the beginning of the book, he begins to deal with them when it says, I of Paul, I of Apollos, I of Cephas, I of Christ. And there's a division there among them. And later on in the same book, he says, follow me. But you find in chapter 1 that he corrects that division there, or that the sectarianism, they were divided against each other. And so he deals with that, deals with it again in chapter 3. Again, he deals with there saying that I and Apollos are only fellow helpers of the word, you know, serving the Lord. And so, you know, we find that he encourages them to be followers of him. In contrast, you notice there that they had a tendency to be following somebody. Paul, Cephas, or Peter, Apollos, or Christ, you know, follow and to adhere to a person. And there he doesn't know, I don't want you to adhere to a person. These instructors are fellow helpers of God. Our water, or one planteth and so on, God gives the increase. And so therefore he says here, follow me as I follow Christ. And that's what he's stressing there. In chapter 4, if you look there, you find there he will bring up there, read verse 15. Chapter 4, he says, "For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ," which is basically, it's not true. There were not 10,000 teachers in the church. But he's stressing there are many. Though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you only have, he says, verse 15, "In Christ, yet have you not many fathers? For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel," which was, he brought forth the gospel to the Corinthian church there, the believers in the city of Corinth. "Wherefore I beseech you, be you followers of me." Again, he uses the Greek word that means to imitate or follow my pattern that I set before you. Verse 17, "For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." So then it's not correct to think Paul taught one thing to the Corinthian church and another thing to another church, and he's like that. He taught his way in Christ in every church. And therefore, he urges the Corinthian believers to follow him. "For he is as their father, begotten you through the gospel." And so he encourages them to follow him in his ways in Christ. If you look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, you find there in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, if you remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 1, there are three characters or three patterns, you could say, there. Christ, Paul, and the Corinthian believers. You say, well, how can the Corinthian believers have a pattern? Well, because they are imitating or following Paul as Paul is imitating following Christ. There are three. In Ephesians chapter 1, you find that Paul writes to them, and you should be already there. I'll catch up with you. All right. He says, "There be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." And again, he uses that word. He used that word to imitate. Then he's imitate, followed by imitating, followed by a pattern after God. Now that's a very high standard and very difficult because God is invisible. He is the Almighty. He's in glory. He's beyond the universe. So how can you imitate him, follow him, in order to follow this instruction? Well, God, as he is found, or as Christ reveals him, you see, reveals him in the flesh. That's why I was very happy when Brother Philip Thomas preached on the man Christ Jesus. He introduced Christ unto you as a man. And I said, go on, go at it, doing a good job, continue on. And therefore, you can see the pattern set by Christ. Why? Because it's the man Christ Jesus. Without sin, he set a pattern. And therefore, you are to imitate God as dear children. Verse 2 explains it also there in chapter 5, verse 2. "And walk in love as Christ also loved us." There's a pattern. "And hath given himself to us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." There's a pattern. There's a set forth. He did so as the man Christ Jesus. You can see it. You can see it. You can understand it. And you can follow it. You see, you can follow it. And so that's very significant. In 1 Peter chapter 2, if you look there again about our Lord, the man Christ Jesus, how that his life and what he did upon the earth for 3.5 years was a purpose that we can see and we can imitate. Chapter 2 and in verse 20, it states there, For what glory is it when you shall be buffeted for your faults? You shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither guile found in his mouth. And so then when we are suffering for doing that which is right, what God has laid on our hearts to do, and it's the right thing to do, and we suffer for it, the pattern set before us is Christ Jesus. We look to him, and therefore as he has suffered, he himself has suffered also. He says there, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. And that word follow comes from a Greek word that does not mean imitate, but to follow the steps, you know, get in line and follow him. That's the pattern that he set for us to follow. And so then it is there we find that Ephesians 4, 5 and verse 1 is not an impossible thing for us to do. We can, because of Christ Jesus. We can see, understand, and imitate it. And therefore, when Paul says there, imitate me as I imitate Christ, we can do it because we can see. And we'll explain more about the seeing of Paul and imitating him as he imitates Christ. So then Christ is worthy of our attention. He's worthy of our study. He's worthy of our meditation. He's worthy of us to pay attention about what Christ did, why did he do it, and how he did it as the man Christ Jesus. Because he is set forth as unto us an example. And we are expected not to say, well, that's what he did, but he's the God-man, and therefore that's he's able, I cannot. Never, the scriptures don't teach that. You say, the scriptures teach that we are to follow his example and behave as our Lord. We're even taught to have the mind of Christ. They had in Philippians chapter 2, and Brother Thomas was in there too. And there it says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. And the word mind means think. Think as Christ thought. You know, think as he thought. And therefore, you know, we need to keep that in mind. So that's Christ. He is a pattern, has a pattern for us to imitate. But what about this Paul? Who is this Paul? Well, if you look in 1 Timothy, Paul will explain or describe who he was before he was saved, what kind of person he was. Normally, at times, we'll say, I would like to meet Paul. Well, you would not want to meet Paul before he was saved, because he would hurt you. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, look at verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious. That means he hurt people. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And so then this is a faithful saying and worthy of our acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So before I was a blasphemer. No, he did not blaspheme Yahweh or Jehovah God. He was a Jew, and Jews would not do that. How was he a blasphemer? He blasphemed your Christ. You see, he opposed him. He despised him. He hated him. And he hated all of, and he persecuted those who followed him. And not only did he persecute and slander them, he hunted them down and he hurt them. He hurt them. You know, so if you met him before he was saved, you would not get along with him. He would despise you and he would hurt you. That was the type of person he was. And then after that, we find in verse 15, he says there that Christ came in the world to save sinners, and of whom I am presently the chief. So then you find that Paul is confessing that he's still a sinner. He's saved. God has enlightened him. God has saved him from what he was before, but he's still a sinner. And we don't think of Paul as that way. We don't think of Paul as a sinner. But Paul says, I'm a chief of sinners. I am. And it goes in Romans chapter 7. And you know there, Paul confesses a lot there, more than what most ministers would confess. Especially if you're a minister, you know, and want to lead people and encourage them, you usually don't tell them how bad you are, you know, because, you know, or how wicked you are. We don't bring that up. But Paul, writing under inspiration, he brings it up. We begin to read at verse 14 in chapter 7 in the book of Romans. He says there, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am, present tense, now, carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. And for what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Paul, writing under inspiration, explaining to you his internal struggle that he was constantly in. For he found there, he says in verse 24, O wretched man that I am, not that I was. Those who claim that Paul is talking about his lost condition before he's saved do not understand what Paul is talking about, because they have not experienced what Paul is experiencing. But you have. You understand what he's talking about. Oh, wretched man that I am at this very present time. Who should deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. And notice that very carefully, he says, so then, in conclusion, so then with the mind I serve the law of God. So from now on, so then, with the mind I serve the law of God. And then he goes on, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So tomorrow, Paul is going to be a wretched man. That's what he's saying. Next week, you go meet Paul, he's a wretched man. You see, a wretched man. You see, there's no deliverance until the Christ comes again, or to death. I'm a wretched man. You know. In verse 8, chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so therefore he's still a wretched man. So if you meet Paul, you will find and get to know him, you will soon discover that he's not perfect. Inspired of God to write the scriptures? Yes. Called of God? Yes. Perfect? No. Wretched? Yes. There'll be some things about Paul you would not like. He says, no, but along you're wrong. There's some things about you I don't like. Now, tell me I'm wrong. You see, tell me I'm wrong. And so then you have to understand this, when Paul says, be you followers of me, is a bold statement. For my life is exposed unto you. If you look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, you find what he says there. And so, and this is what he says about himself and those who are with him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 7. He said, Brother Long, you make a lot of mistakes in your speech. Yes, I do. And I use that to get your attention, okay? In verse 7, he says there, For you yourselves know how to ought to follow us. And that's that word, imitate. Imitate us. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but walked with labor and travail night and day, that ye might not be charged, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because ye have not power. Excuse me, so I make mistakes in my reading. That's why you should better be following along with me. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves as an example unto you to follow us. I didn't read that right. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. So therefore he made an effort. And those who were with him, they made an effort to produce, to live, to think, have a pattern so that the Thessalonian believers could imitate it exactly the same way. And so then we find that that was Paul's instructions to all of his churches that he started. So then you find again in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And what does Paul do there? Well, he has to make a clear distinction between his behavior. When he did that which is wrong, and he didn't want to, but he didn't want them to imitate that. You see, and you think, but Paul would do something that was wrong, something that is not after Christ. That's what he confessed. And then, of course, they've been, he said, what, did he get drunk? No, don't be silly. No. But he wasn't perfect. He wasn't perfect. And therefore, when he asked the Corinthian believers to imitate him, he made it very clear, imitate me, follow my pattern, as I also imitate and follow Christ. There he makes it very careful, he said. He was not a dictator. He did not dictate to them. He doesn't say, Be ye followers of me, even as I also of Christ, or be followers of me because I am a follower of Christ. That's not what he said. He said, Imitate me as I am of Christ. And any other pattern, any other word, any other thing you see in me that's not after Christ, do not do that. But do that which I follow, even as I also am of Christ. Basically he's saying this, do not do this because I say so, but only as it of Christ. You see? Of Christ. And Paul did that. He said that. Because therefore, it's that Paul didn't brainwash people. He didn't dictate, do this, He did not teach that this what you should do because I'm doing it, because I'm right and you need to follow me. He said to them, to the Corinthian believers, do this, not because I say so, but as I follow Christ. Do this because it's of Christ. Keep in memory the things that I taught of you, my ways which are in Christ. And nothing else. For Paul was a wretched man. He struggled. He was grieved. He grieved over his the things that he dealt with, But yet he was able to because by God's grace, for he says, I am who I am by the grace of God. Amen. He was able to follow Christ. And there he encouraged the Corinthian believers to follow Christ or to follow him as he followed Christ. But let it very clear that they understand only as he followed Christ. Only, you know, as he followed Christ. He was not a dictator. We ministers, we are not dictators. We set an example with our life. We preach the word. We set forth and preach the pattern of lifestyle that our Lord lives, but we do not dictate. We do not dictate. We cannot dictate. We should not dictate. Why? Because their behavior will only be for so long until they get tired or until the next pastor comes.
Right.
And it will change. You see, it will change. But if you teach scriptures and the Spirit moves them to follow the pattern you set forth as you follow Christ, it will last beyond you.
Amen.
You see. Because Paul was going to die. He wasn't going to be there after a while. You see. So follow me as I follow Christ. The next thing we want to consider is the next pattern is the Corinthian believers. The Corinthian believers. And I enjoy this part. I like this part. The Corinthian believers. Why? Because the Corinthian believers, oh man, I tell you what, the Corinthian church was not the greatest church that you would, you know, I mean, well, I would wish you was like the Corinthian church. No, I wouldn't wish that at all. Not at all, at all. They had a lot of problems. Quite often, many of our preachers will ask each other, would you receive and grant letters from the Corinthian church? Well, I don't know. I mean, I know they were a church because Paul said they were a church. I know they were called the saints of God. But some of the patterns they were doing there created a lot of havoc. And, of course, Paul reveals it's a fact. It's the only church that I know of right now that he writes two letters to. You know, and we find in the reading of the letters, there was another letter written also. So, you know, and the thing about it is, if you remember, these letters that was written to this Corinthian church was the Corinthian church was still young. Excuse me, was still young. It was only a few years old, and they already had serious problems. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you get some sort of idea of what these members were like. And keep in mind, Paul says, calls them the saints of God. In verse chapter 6, verse 9, Paul writes, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornication, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, which is homosexuals. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed and you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. And such were some of you. And you keep in mind that after you were saved, you still have a lot of problems in your life. Based upon or because of the consequences of your lifestyle before you were saved. It's going to be that way. If you was a drunkard and you got drunk and you fell on the railroad track and later drunk and a train went over and you lost your arm, was cut off, you know, well then after the Lord saves you, you don't get your arm back. You know, you're going to have to live the rest of your life with an arm missing. Everybody can see it. Everybody knows why it's missing and so on like that because you was a drunk. And that's what you're going to live with. That's the consequences of your sins. Young people always think about that.
Amen.
You're going to have to live with the consequences of your decisions.
Amen.
It's going to be for the rest of your life.
Amen.
You see, for the rest of your life. And so then, these Corinthian believers, Paul says, some of you were homosexuals, Some of you were drunkards, fornicators, adulterers, thieves, covetous, you know, it goes on, unrighteous. And he said, all unrighteous people shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So all the whole church. But think of the consequences of their sins. They now have to endure, and they come to your church, and they join, and they bring into the church all those consequences of their sins. You see, what, that's what they bring in with them. This is the Corinthian believers. And then also Paul writes to them, it's commonly reported among you that it's fornication, sexual immorality among you. It ought not be. In fact, the one case of the son having his father's wife. Even Gentiles don't do that. But they did. Corinthian church members did. And then they wouldn't exclude the guy. Puffed up about that. There are some of them that was going to court, public court against each other. Divided among themselves in divisions and so on like that. Even there was a group within the church that has serious doubt about the resurrection of the believers. This is the Corinthian believers. But Paul says to them, be you followers of me as of Christ. That's who he's talking to. He's talking to you. He said, Brother Longo, we're not as bad as the Corinthian believers. I don't know. I don't know you. So you might be lying to me. I don't know. I do know that you are sinners.
Right, right.
Yeah. You see. And you know, so he tells the Corinthian believers this: be you followers of me as I follow Christ. He tells them to do that. Can you imagine telling a group of people like that, that they, with all the problems they are having, it was with doctrine, with lifestyle, and then the past lifestyle, and now they're here, and Paul says, I exhort you, I encourage you to think like Christ as I think like Christ, follow Christ as I follow Christ. I want you to do that. How? Well, because he's already taught them that they have the mind of Christ. You're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when he talks to them there, verse 9, he says there in chapter 2 in 1 Corinthians, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither had entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. And of course, people stop there, but they should not stop there. For in verse 10, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. He says, for which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? Of course, no one. But we, in contrast to that, have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. We are spiritual. And the things of God we can know because we are taught them by the Spirit of God. And we are able to receive them because we're not natural. We are spiritual. And what's interesting in verse 1, chapter 3, he says, brethren, I cannot speak to you as unto spiritual. There was a struggle, yet they were still spiritual wise because he continued to speak to them. You see, continued to speak to them. And later he would tell them, be you followers of me as I follow Christ. Why? Because you're spiritual. You're spiritual. I like that. I need to hear that, don't you?
Amen.
I need to hear that. Do you have problems? Well, yes, you have problems. And about most of the problems are your fault. But, however, you are spiritual. You have the mind of Christ and the things of God. And you can follow Christ. In fact, that's what Paul reveals when he speaks to the Corinthian believers. He says to them, notice there, he says, "Be you followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Therefore, he indicates they have the ability and they have the spiritual discernment. They knew the difference. When they looked at Paul and saw a pattern, they were to know that that pattern is after Christ. Whether Paul did it or not, it didn't make any difference. It was after Christ, and they were to imitate that. If they saw something of Paul that was not after Christ, Paul told them, don't follow it. Don't imitate it. They had the spiritual discernment. You know what is holy. You know what is right. You have the Spirit of Christ within you. And Paul reveals here that, you know, by instructing them to follow him as he is of Christ, reveals that there is a higher standard than Paul. That's Christ Jesus the Lord. And these Corinthian believers, with all the problems they have, in spite of all the lifestyle before and the struggles they're going through right now, he instructed them, knowing they have a spiritual discernment and the ability to do so, to follow him as he followed Christ and to know the difference. And you know the difference too. See, for the Spirit is in you. You see, the Spirit is in you. I like that. I mean, I just rejoice in that. Because now it reveals I don't do what I should do, but it reveals that it's not hopeless. You know, it reveals that, you know, I know that there is, that the Lord has saved me and has given me life in spiritual discernment. He says there, you know, as he says there in chapter 2, notice how it says there, I'll get there shortly, he says, "It's written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him, but God has revealed them to us." And we know them. We know them. I think that's exciting. Why? Because you're talking to the Corinthian believers, and we're not as bad as the Corinthian believers, we hope. Yet, the instruction is still upon us to follow our Lord Jesus Christ, to think as he thought. You know, only those who have the mind of Christ by the new birth, by regeneration, can think as Christ thought. You see, that's wonderful. What a great deliverance we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we find that Paul confesses, "I am the chief of sinners," and we can understand that. I hope you can understand that. He says, I'm wretched. Wretched. Who's going to deliver me from this? Only Christ. Because why? Because no one else can, and I cannot. But he can, and he will. Yet he says there to the Corinthian believers, imitate me as I imitate Christ. They know the difference. He encouraged them to do so. You know the difference, and I encourage you also to do so. And we thank the Lord and praise him for his glory, that you can imitate our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow.